Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. Thank you for checking us out on this wonderful Thursday. Oregon, fall, football, all the above are wonderful. I hope you guys are having a great start to your fall out there. If your team is doing well, you probably are. If your team is doing poorly, well, there's plenty of beer, cider, and other fall festivities to go around, so make sure you're experiencing those if your teams aren't doing it for you. I want to bring in a very special guest. He's been on the show a number of times. He's family to this show, so we hope you've checked out his work. He's Garrett Thornton, senior writer on OSN. He's also a featured contributor on this site, KGW, Comcast Sportsnet, you name it. He's on their material, so make sure you're checking out his work. You can find him at Portland Garrett at Twitter. Garrett, thank you for coming on tonight, and thank you for joining the show so many times. We're really happy to have you on. We know you're a busy, busy guy. We appreciate you making time.
No problem, Casey. Always appreciate coming on the show. It's always a good time chatting with you, especially during football season. A lot to talk about.
So much to talk about. We've got a little rivalry game coming up, I believe, a week from Sunday. Is Dallas hosting the future champion Green Bay Packers.
Yep, week 5. It's the week that you and I circled when the schedules came out.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that one. That's a rematch of a rematch of a rematch. So we'll definitely have to circle that one again next week and talk about that. But I'm honestly more excited for that than any of the games this week. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Let's do a quick recap of week 3. What you saw, what you liked, what you didn't like. You know, were there any games that you saw that kind of jumped out at you? Like, whoa, that really went away from the script I thought it would have followed. An example to me would be like Baltimore and Jacksonville. That went, I think, way the other direction that most people saw it going. Some people had it as an even affair. Didn't go that way. It was a blowout by Jacksonville. Didn't see that one coming. Was fun to watch, I guess, from a stat standpoint, but not actual viewership. But were there any of the games on the week 3 slate that kind of popped for you?
Yeah, I mean, the Thursday night game, the Rams and the Niners, that was one that I wasn't really planning on watching. I think that NFC West is just trash football. I don't think that any of those four teams are any good. And so I wasn't planning on watching it. I have Todd Gurley on my fantasy team. And so I got an alert when he scored a touchdown. Oh, cool. Then I got an alert when he scored another touchdown. Oh, that's cool. So I flipped it on. But that was a heck of a football game. The Niners hadn't scored a touchdown coming into the game, and then they score 39 points week 3. And so I don't think either of those teams are great. I mean, the Rams have a winning record right now, but we're only 3 weeks into the season. But it was a fun football game. 80 points scored, the highest scoring game of the year so far. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching that game. Even though it wasn't probably great football, it was exciting and some high scoring and some things that were complained about heading into week 3 was just how low scoring the league was. But that was a fun game for me.
Yeah, and another one that was supposed to be like that was the Sunday night game with Oakland and Washington, and that turned into a dud because Washington showed up and then some, but Oakland did not. And Oakland was looking like the team to beat through 2 weeks, and then now they're looking like they might be in trouble. They got Denver coming up this week, and we'll get into that matchup in a minute, but was that game a surprise to you? Do you think Oakland was the beneficiary of a couple of weak defenses?
What ending didn't, like, the result of that game didn't surprise me. I thought that Washington at home could beat Oakland. I didn't think that they were unbeatable. But just the stats from the game, Marshawn Lynch had 18 yards rushing. Derek Carr threw for 118 yards and 2 interceptions. That you look at their receivers, all these high name, high price guys, Amari Cooper, 1 reception, 6 yards, Michael Crabtree, 1 reception, 7 yards. Like you called it a dud. It was literally a dud for Oakland. It was right. Terrible. And so that's one of those games that you can't let beat you twice. And so it was ugly, gross, however you want to describe it. And now they get the privilege of going to the Mile High City and playing Denver. And so the Raiders can't let that week 3 dud beat them twice. If they go into Denver and lose to a division rival and go to 2-2 on the season, the Raiders could be in a little bit more trouble than we think.
Yeah, I think 2-2 sounds maybe more scary than it really is. But when you're starting out 2-0 and you drop to 2-2 and you're supposed to be one of these high-flying offenses, and you have 2 weeks in a row that are just duds, yeah, it is scary. Another team that I think looks pretty scary in a bad way right now is Seattle. And, you know, they had a lot of fanfare coming into the season as the defense was back to near Super Bowl level. The offense had figured some things out. They don't look like they've figured anything out. They look like they're giving up as many points as they ever have. Their defense is getting tired. They're on the field forever. The offense can't get a yard to save their life. What are you seeing from Seattle that shows you any glimmer of hope that this week or the coming weeks will be better?
I mean, it's not looking promising for the Seahawks, but they also play Indianapolis this Sunday for Sunday Night Football.
Right. That's pretty good hope.
And Indy is a terrible team. And so, no, the first couple weeks of the season haven't been great for them. They lost to Green Bay opening week. They barely beat San Francisco at home. And then they beat Tennessee. They got beat by Tennessee in Tennessee. And so at home against Indianapolis is a get-right game. They've got to win this game. And then they go to L.A. where they've had trouble against the Rams, but that's the Jeff Fisher Rams.
Right.
But these Rams are better than the Jeff Fisher Rams. And so that's no gimme for Seattle week five. If they go into their week six bye with a 2-3 record, I think there's some legitimate room for concern in Seattle, because their schedule does not get any easier. They're out of division games. They play Houston, Washington, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Jacksonville, Dallas. Like, that's not easy sledding for a team that struggled to score points and for a defense that's looked good but not great. And that's what they're built on, is to have a great defense and a good offense. Well, it's been a below average offense and a good defense. So right. Seattle could be in trouble. I just think their season rests on the ability to keep Russell Wilson upright. That offensive line is historically bad. And if Wilson gets hurt, they have no chance this season. He's their one shot to make any noise in the NFC. And if he gets hurt, similar to like what he did last year, even if he doesn't miss time, but if he gets hurt and is hindered in his running ability, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and you know, the one good news I will say to a Seattle fan is that in the time Russell Wilson's been the quarterback there, they've routinely had second half runs in the season where they've made a postseason run. You know, their 13-3 record in 2013 aside, most of the other times they've had to make a push to get into the playoffs. And so just if they go into week six with a less than desirable record, doesn't mean the season's over, especially given the division they're in. You and I have both noted multiple times on this show that the conference is definitely loaded with teams, but that division is not. So they could absolutely win that division with an 8-8 or a 9-7 record. They don't need to be 12-4 or 13-3 to get a postseason berth and then potentially unseat somebody as a dark horse, the way New York kind of went in last year, even though they didn't unseat anybody.
Yeah, I mean, but Seattle has built their game around their defense and winning at home. And so if they win 8 games and go into the playoffs as a dark horse, as you put it, they're going to have trouble winning a couple games on the road to get them to a Super Bowl. And so I think if Seattle wants to turn things around and make any noise in the NFC, I think they need to get on that here fairly soon. I think they need to definitely win these 2 games before their bye and then get ready for the tough sledding ahead for the next 10 weeks.
All right, let's kick off our week 4 preview with Seattle and Indianapolis. Obviously, we like Seattle in this game because Indianapolis, even if they had Andrew Luck, I'm not sure how good they would be. They don't have a ton of talent. Do you think Seattle's going to win this game, or do you think it's going to be close?
No, I don't think it'll be close. I think Seattle will be it's such an emotional team, and it always has been under Pete Carroll. And so I think they're going to come into the game after a loss and have something to prove. And so I think that'll be what leads them to a big victory over Indianapolis. Indianapolis is just a bad team. They have shown a few things under with Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback,
right?
But just not enough to instill a whole lot of confidence in them.
Definitely not. And you know, even the teams he's played haven't been all stars. So We'll see what he can do against Seattle. I mean, I expect them to be able to contain him and that absent offense that he runs, and then it'll turn over to, can the Seattle Seahawks score on Indy's defense? And I think that's an absolute yes, they can. I don't know how much they'll score, and we'll see if Doug Baldwin can play. He's still coming back from a groin injury he suffered last week against Tennessee, and the MRI came back with no damage that it's going to keep him out long term, but they haven't said if he's going to play for sure this week.
My opinion is just sit him. I mean, I know a lot of fantasy owners don't want to hear that, but you can win this game against Indianapolis without Doug Baldwin. You have plenty of other receivers that can fill the void. In the NFL, you don't see many teams sitting a player like that. Like the conversation we have every basketball season, Greg Popovich sitting his stars against so-and-so for, like, just sit Doug Baldwin. He doesn't need to play this game. I understand that. I don't know what the contract ramifications are, or if there's bonuses tied to playing 16 games or whatever that case may be. But just as an outsider looking in, sit Doug Baldwin, give him a chance to rest, bring him back against the Rams, and then he'll have another week off with the bye. Because these soft tissue injuries of hamstrings, groins, those can be nagging and can affect your entire season if you don't take care of it right. And a week to sit down and rest is not usually enough for those type of injuries. And so if you send him into the game at less than 100% and he re-aggravates it and misses another week or two, that, I don't know that the Seahawks can take a risk like that, but they can take a risk of sitting Doug Baldwin against the Colts, who are just a terrible team.
Yeah, and I mean, they won't be able to do it very often, but this is a week where you can lean on your running game and grind out the game. You don't necessarily need Baldwin there. I mean, you've got Richardson, you've got Lockett, you've got Wilson and Jimmy Graham. You can win this with those guys and let Baldwin sit on the bench, like you said.
Yep.
All right, so we're both picking Seattle in that one. The next one is the Thursday night special, Green Bay hosting Chicago. We're definitely going to see some bad uniforms in this one because that's apparently what we get on Thursday night is questionable matchups and very questionable uniforms.
I actually didn't mind last Thursday's uniform.
They weren't bad. We've seen worse.
I like the black on San Francisco and then that yellow, gold, whatever that Rams color was. That wasn't bad. I didn't mind that combination, but I agree. There have been some terrible Thursday uniforms.
Bills Jets from a couple years ago comes to mind, and that was unwatchable.
Oh, yeah, that one was bad. And then the Jaguars, when they roll out that green-brown, whatever that gross color is.
The Florida color.
And so I'm with you. But the Packers-Bears, we'll see what the uniforms are like, but I think the uniforms will be worse than the game. I think this could be a pretty good game.
I think so. Chicago's got an underrated, sneaky defense and a pretty good running game. I don't trust their passing game at all. Even if Mike Glennon had someone to throw to, I don't think he's a very good quarterback. But on the flip side, Green Bay is struggling. They can't keep an offensive line together. Their star running back, Ty Montgomery, is banged up with a wrist injury. He's going to play, but I'm not sure if he's really at 100%. And then Jordy Nelson sure looked good last week, so he looks great, but Randall Cobb may or may not play. I mean, Green Bay may, and their defense looks as shot as it ever has, so I don't know if they're going to be able to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is just those two tackles. Bakhtiari and Beluga, they were both out of practice. They're both doubtful to play on Thursday, so that's a huge hit for this offense that needs veteran tackles on the field to run with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is a master of going between up-tempo offense to slowing it down to up-tempo. And so that takes a toll on younger offensive linemen. And when you lose your two tackles, it's tough on those replacements to come in and try and duplicate what those other guys do. I think Randall Cobb was back at practice. Ty Montgomery's given it a go. I think Green Bay has the edge in this game. But it's a division game. It's Thursday night. So there's a lot of variables in this game that just kind of make you nervous as a Green Bay fan. And I think it'll be one of the better Thursday night matchups of the season.
Well, and the other thing to consider is you already named the two starting tackles that are out. And Kyle Murphy, who's been the backup tackle the last couple of weeks, he's now on injured reserve. So it just gets dicier and dicier. So Chicago's pass rush might have a couple of free shots at Rodgers, and we'll see if he can evade it. Who do you think is going to win this game?
I think Green Bay. I think it'll be a closer game than some think. I think the line in Vegas is 7.5 points, and I think that that's about right, but I also wouldn't mind. I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay wins it with a field goal at the end. I think it has the potential of being that close.
Yeah, I'm picking Green Bay to win, but I agree with you. It'll be very close, and you know, a lot of people might think the Bears are going to get blown out, and I personally hope that happens, but at the same time, it'd make for an interesting Thursday game if it's close. So I think it'll be one score or less, and I hope that Rodgers stays upright. I'd hate to see him get hurt. It's happened before when he's played in Chicago in primetime, broke his collarbone a few years ago. So let's talk Saints-Dolphins, the game of the week in London, anyway. Who do you like in this game, and who do you think is going to win?
Well, who do I like in this game? The answer to that is neither team.
Sure.
But I think the Saints will win. I think their offense is better than Miami's. I think that Drew Brees he'll get things together at some point in the season. He's looked decent, but not Hall of Famer great like he usually is.
Right.
But that Miami team is bad. I mean, that performance last week against the Jets was pitiful. The Jets don't want to win football games this year.
They keep trying not
to. They want Sam Darnold as their franchise quarterback. And last week, the Jets won a football game. I was convinced that the Jets were going to be 0-16. And so for Miami to go to New York and lose to the Jets the way they did, and it wasn't just a loss. It was a demoralizing loss because they were down 20-0. They took a timeout with 6 seconds remaining in the game to draw up a play that got them a touchdown. And then after the touchdown, they missed the PAT. And so Miami just was bad. Jay Ajayi's already banged up. He's having some issues. That Jay Cutler, I just don't know that he fits that team yet. And so Miami's just not a good team. And New Orleans is going to get things together. But like we saw last week in that London game, who knows what's going to happen? That's a lot of travel for these teams that aren't used to it. That's a game that I will never bet is any of those London games, because there's just so many variables, so many things that are out of the ordinary. The Jaguars have gone every year where the Ravens hadn't, and the Ravens went and it looked like they were sleepwalking through the game. And so who knows what to expect this Sunday morning? I'm going to pick the Saints, but with not much confidence.
I'm going to go the same way. I'll pick New Orleans to win just because I trust Drew Brees and Michael Thomas more than anybody on the Dolphins, but I don't know that that's a gimme. I think that it could go either way, just like you said, but I'll pick the Saints to win a close one.
And Willie Snead's back from suspension.
That's right.
This week, so it's just another weapon for Drew Brees.
Yeah, we'll see how much time they need to get it going again to shake the rust off. But, you know, he's got other options in the passing game. He showed that last week against the Panthers. So, all right, we'll move on to Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Even though Baltimore is going to be going after revenge for getting shredded last week, I still think Pittsburgh can handle him at home. But these games are notorious for being close, just like Chicago and Green Bay usually are. I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win this one, but it's going to be a touchdown or less. I don't think they can really run away with it against a really quality defense like Baltimore that was embarrassed last week.
Yeah, and I don't think that Pittsburgh has looked very good this year.
They haven't.
They beat Cleveland week one by a field goal. They beat up on Minnesota week two, who's a pretty good team, but they were without Sam Bradford. And then they lost to Chicago in overtime, who I really don't think is a very good team.
No.
So I think Pittsburgh's the better team than Baltimore. But being in Baltimore, we all have seen the splits, Ben Roethlisberger at home versus on the road. And he's a much different quarterback on the road. So that doesn't help you be very confident in Big Ben this weekend. But I'm going to pick Pittsburgh. I think it's a field goal game, and I think it could go either way. But I think Pittsburgh comes out with it.
Yeah, I don't trust Pittsburgh the way I'd like to. I mean, getting Martavius Bryant, Le'Veon Bell back was supposed to make this just a oversized offense that could beat up anybody, including New England. And we have not seen this offense come together yet. Sooner or later, they're going to gel, but not, it hasn't happened yet.
No, and that's the thing. Everyone talks about Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and all these weapons, how it's the most dynamic offense in the league. But like, they scored 21, 26, 17. Like, this isn't a team that is lighting the league on fire. As we sit right now, they've scored 64 points. A team like the Rams has scored 107. I think Pittsburgh gets it together at some point. I just don't think it's against the Baltimore defense, who's pretty good. But then you look ahead for Pittsburgh. They played Jacksonville in week 5 and Kansas City in week 6. The next three defenses they play are ridiculous defenses. So it could be a tough go for Pittsburgh here, but I do think that they get this win in Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll do one more game and then we got to take a break, and we'll come back after the break and finish up the pick'em segment and then also get into some college football talk. The next game is Rams Cowboys. Todd Gurley famously said on Thursday Night Football last week that he was going to beat up Michael Irvin's Cowboys. Who do you like in this game, and do you think Gurley's got the right pick, or do you think the Cowboys can take care of business?
I mean, I never pick against my Cowboys. It's just a rule that I have.
Right.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys are the better team. I think the Cowboys win this game, but I think the Rams are an intriguing team. I think Sean McVay has really transformed that team. He's turned Jared Goff into a good NFL quarterback, and a lot of people didn't think that was possible. The one thing still in the mind of every Cowboys fan is that Denver collapse. And so that, I think, might have shown some weaknesses for the Cowboys. But at the same time, the Cowboys are a very young team. Their secondary was incredibly beat up that day. I don't want to make excuses for it, but it was a 25-point loss, and you don't see many of those in the NFL. And so they came back. They looked terrible in the first quarter against Arizona Monday night, but they got things together, took care of business. I think they'll do the same with the Rams this week. They're back in Dallas. I think they'll take care of business. I just hope that they don't on week 5 in that matchup with Green Bay. I hope that they can take care of business week 4 before they move on to week 5.
Yeah, something that was coming up after the Denver loss was that most teams don't have Denver secondary, and that's absolutely true. I mean, the Rams might have a pretty good defense, but they don't have the corners that Denver has to really beat up the receivers the way that you would need to make Ezekiel Elliott a non-factor by stacking the box and just going one-on-one on the outside. They can't do that against Dez Bryant in L.A., so I think this one will be closer than maybe people want to believe, because I think the Rams are closer to being a contender than a pretender, but I think this is one that Dallas can win. I don't know that it'll be easy, but I think they'll come out on top.
Yeah, I agree. And what you said about the secondary, the Cowboys have been against three of the best secondaries in the league the first 3 weeks. They played the New York Giants and Janoris Jenkins in week 1. They played Denver's defense week 2, and then Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu and those guys week 3. So going against Trumaine Johnson and those guys in LA, it will be a breath of fresh air for the Cowboys passing game. Let's just hope that that translates on the field and they can get that rhythm back that they've struggled to find the last few weeks.
Absolutely. And we'll hope that they can get a win, because this might be the last game they have for a while without Ezekiel Elliott if the October 2nd hearing goes against them, but we'll get into that after the break. You're listening to Fireside Sports and Oregon Sports News. We'll be back right after this.
Tomorrow morning, the all-star lineup of new 1952 Buicks goes on display at your Buick dealers. And believe you me, they're the smartest, smoothest riding Buicks you've ever seen, with new surprise features you thought years away. So don't miss the fun. Bring the whole family to see the advanced new Roadmasters, the exciting new Supers, and the brilliant new specials that combine big car luxury with economy price. Yes, don't miss the new 1952 Buicks at your Buick dealers tomorrow.
The instant coffee with a famous flavor. That's Instant Maxwell House, the happiest combination in coffee. Wonderful, good to the last drop flavor, combined with the convenience and thrift of coffee made instantly in the cup. So easy, no pot, no grounds. So thrifty, saves you real money compared to ordinary coffee. So truly good, pure roaster fresh flavor. Try Instant Maxwell House, the instant coffee with a famous flavor. Instantly good to the last drop.
They've proven in over 2 million homes. Second, you get both AM and FM radio with RCA Victor's new extended tone range. And third, the Rutland gives you two automatic record changers that enable you to enjoy records at all three speeds. Yes, enjoy all of these fine instruments in one fine combination at one money-saving price. Look over the Rutland soon. And say, here are two new RCA Victor Red Seal releases to add to your collection. September Song, sung on a single record by Itzio Pinza. And the album of selections from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess with Reza Stevens and Robert Merrill.
Welcome back into Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. With me is my co-host, Garrett Thornton. If you haven't already, please check him out. He's at Portland Garrett on Twitter. He's Garrett Thornton on Oregon Sports News, on KGW, on Comcast Sportsnet. He has a really neat feature he does every week called Breaking Vegas with Garrett Thornton, and we're doing a little version of that this week, but make sure you check that out. It's on the Oregon Sports News Facebook page. Every week, Garrett does a live preview of the games to pick that week, and he helps you get some beats on the Vegas lines and who's going to win. So, Garrett, we're doing our own pickup game, or not pickup, our own pick'em game tonight. We've already covered Green Bay, Chicago, Indy, Seattle, Saints and Dolphins, and Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and then also Rams and Cowboys. Let's do a little lightning round one now. Just give me the knee-jerk reaction to each team you hear and tell me who's going to win. We'll start with Detroit and Minnesota. Who's going to win and why?
I'm picking Detroit to win this game. I think that they've looked pretty good the first few weeks of the season, and I don't necessarily trust Case Keenum. I know he looked good last week, but I don't think that that's something that they can sustain moving forward.
I agree with you. I think Detroit's the team here, and you know Minnesota's looked good regardless of who they have at quarterback. They haven't looked great. I think that Case Keenum can potentially lead them to victory, but I trust Stafford a lot more, so I'm going to go with Detroit in that one, and their defense looked solid, if not spectacular. How about Philadelphia and LA / San Diego, whatever we're calling them these days, the Eagles and the Chargers? Who do you have and why?
I like Philadelphia. I mean, going across the country and playing in LA isn't the easiest thing to do, but I just think the Eagles are riding on some momentum on that 61-yard field goal last week and big win against the Giants. I like the Eagles. I like Carson Wentz. I think that offense is only going to get more dangerous as the season goes.
Yeah, I've liked Wentz this year. You know, he showed up Kirk Cousins in Washington. He almost showed up the Chiefs in week two, and he definitely showed up last week and got a win. You know, they could just as easily be 0-3 as 2-1 or 3-0. So I really trust Wentz this year, and he's exciting. I think he'll beat San Diego / LA. Rivers looks sharp, but the rest of his team does not, and he threw a couple really costly picks last week, so we'll see if he can turn it around this week, but I don't expect him to. How about Raiders and Broncos? Do you think the Broncos bounce back from a win against Buffalo, or sorry, a loss against Buffalo, or do you think Raiders bounce back from a loss to Washington?
I think it's going to be Denver. That loss against Buffalo was surprising. I don't know quite what happened there, but that Denver team at home against the Cowboys really opened my eyes to what the Denver team could be. Trevor Siemian looked like a legitimate NFL quarterback, albeit against a beat-up Dallas secondary. But Oakland's defense hasn't looked phenomenal yet this season, and so I think that Oakland has some holes, and if they don't figure things out offensively, they're in for some trouble. And so I think Denver beats them this week, and Oakland goes to 2-2.
Yeah, I think Denver wins this one. You're right. Denver looks scary when they've got all their pistons firing, especially when it's going on both sides of the ball. And that defense is scary when they're working well. The offense can churn out yards through the air or on the ground. I really like this Oakland team, but I'm just not sure they have what it takes yet. I think they're working out some kinks that they didn't have to deal with in the first couple weeks. And I'm definitely going to take Denver in this one. So we'll close out with the Monday night game, which is Washington and Kansas City. Is Kansas City getting their first loss of the season, or are we going to see Washington go down after looking like they had finally climbed back up last week?
No, I think Washington wins. I mean, Kansas City wins. I think Kansas City's legitimately one of the best teams in the league. And so I don't think that Washington can go across the country playing Kansas City in that atmosphere and get the win. Washington will be riding a high from their Sunday night win against Oakland, but I just think Kansas City's the better team all around. I think that defense is underrated, and I think Alex Smith is fighting for his job knowing that Patrick Mahomes is on the bench, and so I think that Kansas City gets the win. They're a very good football team.
And we still haven't even seen what Kansas City can do when all of their playmakers are going on the same night. We've seen Alex Smith having one of the best nights of his career. We've seen Kareem Hunt do it. We've seen Tyreek Hill do it. We've seen Travis Kelce do it. But we haven't seen them all do it in the same game. And if that ever happens, this team could be insanely good. And they're already pretty darn good. Go ahead.
Just the way that they won in New England in week one opened everyone's eyes to who they could be. And they haven't really let down from there. They're a very, very good football team. And I think Kansas City beats Washington, and that would make them 4-0. I think that they're very likely to be a 4-0 football team this week, which before the season, if you would have said Kansas City wins their first four games, people would have thought you were crazy, because that means that they would have to beat New England, Philadelphia, the Chargers, the Redskins. That's a good first four games, but I think they win this week, Monday night, and I think that it's pretty easy win.
And they're doing this without Eric Berry, who went down in week one and didn't come back. He's out for the season. A lot of people thought he was the heartbeat of that defense, and he is, but they're still one of the best units, one of the probably top five unit with or without him. And that offense is showing signs of life they have not in previous years. Alex Smith is willing to go deep. He's willing to spread the ball around and attack. He hasn't been doing that most of his career, but you're right. With Patrick Mahomes there breathing down his neck, he's going after whatever he has to win. So that's our NFL Week 4 preview. And, you know, make sure to give us a little bit of ribbing if you agree or disagree with one of our picks. And, you know, if you're going to do that, make a pick of your own. Make sure you go out on the line and tell us what you think and why you picked who you picked and why we're, you know, questionable with our opinion. So we'll move on to some college football. Before we get into the weekend preview, Garrett, your thoughts on Oregon at Arizona State last week and how that went and what you think maybe the Ducks can take away from that game, or should they bury the game film? What did you take away from that?
I just think what you saw was a young team on the road in a hostile environment, and I think they just got a little overwhelmed. Arizona State was a physical football team. When you look at Oregon's defense, they've got two true freshmen that play defensive tackle. They've got two true freshmen that play cornerback. They've got a true freshman that runs around at linebacker. They've got two true freshmen that run around at safety. That's a young, young, young football team. On the other side of the ball, they've got a couple true freshman wide receivers. That's a young team. Their offensive line, their quarterback, their running back, that's where the team's built. And you saw some holes in some of the other parts of that football team. I'm not too concerned about that. I think that it's a young football team that'll learn, grow, and grow into themselves a little bit. The one thing that concerned me was the play calling was incredibly uninspired, in my opinion. And so I think that for this team, a legitimate threat in the Pac-12, I think that there needs to be some more creativity in the play calling. I think they were pretty predictable at times. And so I know that there's been a lot of talk about the offensive coordinator and maybe hiring a consultant and some other things going around this week. But I just think that there were some issues there in the offensive play calling, and I hope that changes this week going into the game on Saturday.
So speaking of the game on Saturday, they face the Golden Bears, who are fresh off a pretty wild defeat at the hands of USC. They were hosting the Trojans and had them on the ropes, and it looked like they might pull off the upset. And instead, they just got destroyed by some real self-made disasters in the fourth quarter. Do you think Oregon comes in and handles the Bears, or do you think that they are going to both struggle a little bit? What do you look for in this game, and what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's a good game. I think that it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm not sure that either defense is very good. But I do think Oregon is the better team overall. I think they have better offensive weapons. And I just think that they're probably a better coach team right now. Right now they're a 13.5 point favorite. I think that that's pretty high. I think that this is a touchdown game. And I think that for the large part of the game, it's going to be pretty close back and forth. It's the over-under is only 68. I take the over on that all day long. I think that this is a game that's played 35 to 40 points each team. And I think that Oregon comes out in front by a touchdown, but I don't know that they win by two touchdowns like Vegas would suggest.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to win this game, and it'll be a pretty close offensive showcase, like you said. I don't expect a whole lot of defense. Neither team's known for it. I was actually surprised that Cal hung around with USC as much as they did last week. And, you know, they just imploded in the second half, and the end result looked a lot more lopsided than it really was, but it probably looked more realistic to what people expected. And then Oregon, people expected them to beat Arizona State, and they came away with a loss. It's obviously a game they could have won and probably should have won, so I expect them to come out and take care of business in this one. I agree. I don't think they'll win by multiple scores. I think it'll be a one-score game, but I do think that they'll breathe some life back into a season that showed a lot of promise before last week. So then the other side of the Pac-12 in Oregon is Oregon State playing the number six Washington Huskies. Oregon State got a week off after getting shellacked by Washington State. They've only won one game this year against Portland State. Even that win is questionable. And now they're without their quarterback, who suffered a neck or spine injury in that game, and his timetable return is indefinite. We don't know when we're going to see him again. What are you looking for from them in this game, and can they upset the Huskies? I mean, they've been giant killers before. Do you give them a shot, or is this one where they're already shot coming into the game?
No, there's zero chance of an upset in this game. I don't want to say impossible, because I don't think many things in life are impossible, but Oregon State is just a bad football team, and Washington is a very, very good football team. So I don't think that Oregon State has a chance. The only thing that I really hope to see from them on Saturday is just some fight. Just go out there and compete, battle, be a little aggressive, a little edgy, show some fight in that team, because it's been ugly so far. They're 1-3, and you look at the record and look at the schedule, and I would not be shocked if that one win is their only win this season. And so at the end of the season, if Oregon State says, we won one game and that one game was against Portland State, Gary Anderson's probably out of a job. And so he needs to fight for his job, and this team needs to fight for him. And so I want to see them fighting on the field. I want to see them not necessarily physically fighting against Utah, but I just want to see some grit, some passion. And I think that's the only thing that could save the season for the Beavers.
Do you expect to see any closeness in the score? Like, do you think they can keep it close for a quarter or two, or do you think Washington just runs away with this one from the outset?
No, I don't think it's close. I mean, I think the line in Vegas is something like four touchdowns, and I think that is pretty realistic. I would probably take Washington just because I don't think it's going to be close. Last year, the Beavers lost to the Huskies 41-17. I think the Beavers would be lucky to score 17 points in this game, and they're probably lucky if they hold Washington to 41. This Washington team's a whole different level of football than Oregon State's seen this year, and Oregon State struggled against the level of football that they've seen. So it's just, yes, they're two Pac-12 teams, but they're still not on the same playing field.
Yeah, I don't expect it to be close. I think Washington gets an easy win here, and Oregon State is going to have to figure out how they can compete for a game the rest of the year. They've got a really tough schedule the rest of the way. And I keep looking for glimmers of hope to pass along to Beaver fan or Beaver alumni. And I don't really have much to say at this point. I feel for you guys. We went through it last year. I know you did too, but it's tough. I would get a warm blanket because it's going to be a cold, dark fall and winter. I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of hope for a Beaver fan this year, maybe next year. But if they retain Anderson, I'm not sure what you look for in year four that you didn't already see in years one through three.
Yeah, my crazy conspiracy that I shared with you before the show, Casey, is that the Nebraska AD just got fired. Mike Riley's likely to lose his job this year when the new AD comes in and wants to bring his own guy in. Gary Anderson, if this team wins one game, I don't think it's very likely that Gary Anderson keeps his job. What about a Mike Riley return to Corvallis? I know that just puts you right back in mediocre land, but mediocre land of winning five or six games a year is much better than winning one game a year. So I thought it was shocking when Riley left Oregon State. It would be shocking if he went back in that way. But at the same time, I think that there's a certain segment of the fan base that would welcome him back with open arms after the debacle that this season's been.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans were frustrated with the average returns he was giving them every year, and you know, not mediocre teams, but definitely average teams that had average results. But now that you've seen what a big name hire can get you, maybe you want to go back to that life and go, you know, maybe if it wasn't broken, we shouldn't have fixed it because this is definitely not working. Another alternative theory that I've heard that is definitely off the deep end that I don't think would ever happen is for Chip Kelly to become the new Oregon State head coach as he's currently without a job. Do you think there's any possibility of that? And how much would you hate seeing him on the other side?
I personally don't think that there's a possibility of that. When these guys get into commentating, look at the Jay Grudens, the Bill Cowers, all those guys, they realize how much more fun it is to be on that side of the mic, to be able to make the paychecks that they make and not have the pressure of having to live up to expectations. Now, with that said, a lot of coaches still have that competitive fire. They still want to go out and compete. And I think that Chip Kelly still has that, but I think he's much better suited as an offensive coordinator at a big program in college football and not necessarily as a head coach, especially in a place like Corvallis, where I don't know that Beaver fans could accept a Duck coach. I don't know that that would happen. And so I see him taking a offensive coordinator job at maybe a big SEC school or one of those other schools if an opportunity opened up.
Yeah, I mean, he's only a year removed from being a head coach in the NFL, so I could see him definitely coming back to coaching, but I agree, I don't think OSU is where he would end up, and I don't think it would be a head coaching job. He definitely is an X's and O's artist, but at the same time, you can only take the world by storm once, and he's already done that. I think if he were to go back and run another program, it'd be kind of like Steve Spurrier once he left Florida. You can't really get that lightning in a bottle yet again, and Harbaugh's having the same issue at Michigan. He's a good team, but he's not really a national contender. Urban Meyer might be the exception to the rule where he had lightning in a bottle at Utah. He caught it again in Florida, caught it again in Ohio State. He just seems to never run out of magic. I'm not sure Chip Kelly could have the same success he had at Oregon anywhere else.
Well, and I think a lot of it is it's the guys on the field. Look at who Urban Meyer's had at each of those stops versus who some of these other coaches have had to deal with. And I just think it's a apples to oranges comparison. Not many guys get to coach Tim Tebow at Florida like Urban Meyer did, who's Tebow was arguably one of the best college football players of all time.
Absolutely.
And so Meyer has been either very fortunate with the guys that he's coached, or he's just the best recruiter of all time and is just gotten these guys on his team. So whichever way you want to look at it, Meyer has had very good fortune, but I think a lot of that has to do with the guys that he's put on the field.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I mean, at this point, Oregon State fan, it can't get any worse. So hopefully you guys get another win or two the rest of the year, and then hopefully next year you get a coaching change that puts you in the right track. That's it for this week's episode. And Garrett, we thank you so much again for coming on. Again, if you haven't already, please check him out at Portland Garrett on Twitter. He's Garrett Thornton on Oregon Sports News, KGW, Comcast Sportsnet, wherever you can find your sports here in the Northwest. Make sure you check out Breaking Vegas on the Oregon Sports News Facebook page. Like it, you know, make sure that you like it so you can see it again the next time and the next time. Garrett makes great picks, and he really helps you out with your picks, so make sure you check that out. Always outstanding talking football with you, Garrett, and definitely I need to have you back on next week because we got to talk this Dallas-Green Bay game. It's going to be a matchup for the ages.
Sounds good. We might have to make some bets while we're doing our podcast next week that the listeners have to hold us accountable for. So we'll see. We'll see how the games happen this week and then what the initial Vegas lines are, and then we'll have to talk about it next week.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you next week. Hope you enjoy your weekend of sports and hope you get some wins from your Cowboys and Ducks. I'm definitely looking for some from Green Bay and Oregon. Make sure you check us out on Twitter at FiresideOSN. Thank you guys for checking us out. Hope you have a great weekend and a great week of sports.